6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time. It's Wednesday, the last day of the month. It's the end of the month as we know it. That's right. And so you only have until midnight tonight to take advantage of the summer sale. That's right, because the end of it is happening tonight at midnight. You can call during business hours and talk to Power Hour J and get your order in, or you can certainly go online and order at thepowermall.com. And, of course, we told you about the percentages off that you're going to get because of the end of summer sale, which, by the way, did I say it ends tonight? Yeah, the promotion's automatic. You don't have to worry. The more you spend, the more of a discount you get, up to $200. You get 20% off if you spend $200 or more. So that excludes dropship products, of course. But the beauty of it is this is how we survive. And this is how we get to stay on the radio and do shameless plugs for the Epoch Times, which is, by the way, where we get a number of our news stories, because it's probably the closest to analytical truth, more so than Fox News. Because every time I watch Fox News and I start to think that maybe Tucker is the only one on there with a brain, you know, then Hannity comes on next and he has jokers on there like Nicole Sapphire. And I'm like, no, I'm not taking the jab. You know, stop telling me I need to go out and get the shot. You can take mine and 20 more. We don't want to see you on TV anymore. You know, we get sick and tired of being lied to, and I think America is waking up. And so as a result, you know, we look at news sources like the Epoch Times to get information that has already been somewhat analyzed. Now, I'm not saying that every journalist is without fault, because they're, and this is sad, in today's day and time, and I'm going to ask Joshua Phillip, who's with us right now, this question. We all succumb to bias at a point in time, don't we?
Oh, it's unavoidable. I mean, but, you know, of course, the truth is the truth, and opinion is opinion, and I think good journalism can always separate the two. It's fine to have opinion, but you make it clear when you're making an opinion.
Yeah, except if you're the left-wing media, then well, then your opinion is actually fact.
Then it's all opinion, yeah.
Yeah. So let me ask you, Joshua, what's your take on the fact that the Operation Mockingbird and the CIA, what do you know? What have you heard? Is this really what's being played out in the mainstream media? Because you guys aren't mainstream.
Well, you know, I think everybody's kind of having that moment where they're, you know, sitting in their, you know, technically, I guess you could call it sitting up in their matrix pod, and they're kind of rubbing their eyes and they're realizing that all these things that they heard were rumors and conspiracies, like a lot of them are actually kind of true. And especially they're looking, like you mentioned, like Mockingbird Media, and they're looking and seeing, you know what, it looks like a lot of these establishment media are just playing right out of the handbook of these federal agencies that do seem to share the exact same agendas and exact same political interests as they do. And I think it's kind of breaking apart, though, honestly. I think people are starting to see the truth more. I'm not saying everybody does. They're starting to see the truth more, and as they're doing that as well, I think public trust in media is falling, subscriptions are falling, and also they're realizing that a lot of what the government has been doing has been probably violating multiple multiple parts of the Constitution, and people maybe need to start suing them for violations on that.
Well, that's already happening. You know, the jabs, the mandates, all of these things they're suing over, the military mandates. Military is just about decimated. Now we're hearing that our military, because they've been sending all of our ammunition over to Ukraine, our military is running out of ammo. We do not have the capability of defending this country if we were to be attacked. But then again, we just reported this morning that a hedge fund manager is warning investors to get your money out of China. What do you know about that? Heyman Capital Management is telling everybody you're going to lose your money if you don't get it out of there.
Oh, it's worse. It's worse than they say. I'll say that right now.
Well, this sounds like the southern border.
Oh, yeah. Well, China right now is basically – I mean, I know people have been saying it for a long time, but the Chinese Communist Party looks like it's on its last breath right now. And, you know, the problem they're facing with the real estate crisis is something that started a little over a year ago, a couple of years ago now, pre-COVID. Which was a really serious time for the CCP. Remember what was happening when COVID came out, right? You had the Hong Kong protests. The CCP crushed those Hong Kong protests, forcefully ended Hong Kong's democracy. Taiwan took note of that. There was a landslide election against the Chinese Communist Party's. Like, there was a pro-CCP party that lost by a landslide in Taiwan. At the same time, they had protests coming into mainland China. at the same time, Trump had the trade agreement where he was kind of hammering them with tariffs and saying, hey, here's an opening, make a deal with us. And then COVID broke out, and it was causing, of course, a lot of problems for them. Real estate market is about a third of their economy, about a third of their GDP. That was falling because of COVID. Also, their shipments were falling because they shut down all the ports, meaning about a third of their GDP was basically left. But when they ceded the virus to other parts of the world, shutting down travel within China but allowing travel outside of China, thereby spreading the virus to every corner of the planet, and then advising the WHO, the World Health Organization, to basically replicate China's model for dealing with it to every part of the world. When they did that, they slowed down the entire global economy. Then they sent a message out to all the global investors saying, now is the time to invest in China. And a lot of the global investors, BlackRock, others, they poured money into China. And now they found that all the money in the world, essentially, was not enough to save their failing industries. And they're now biting the bullet and realizing there's no way out. And yeah, their economy is about to just go under right now.
And so Vanguard, BlackRock, State Street, all these giant hedge funds that have their money parked in China, I mean, I don't wish ill on anyone, but the thing is that we have been looking at Vanguard and BlackRock, especially BlackRock, for a number of months now as being subversive to this country. And since you have been dealing in subversion and you've been watching the bigger picture, when a lot of people are trying to micromanage their own lives, you're looking at this and see, people are wondering where, and this is, folks, I'm going to stop right now and say, look, you're listening right now to a conversation between two journalists. And see, award-winning investigative reporter, yep, done, been there, done that, so is Joshua. I've gotten awards from Associated Press broadcasters, all this stuff, 50 cents will get you a cup of coffee. All right, so we're bringing this down to even playing field where, we're just two reporters talking to each other, and that's what you're listening to right now. Because obviously, Joshua, you've been spending a lot of time studying the CCP because Epoch Times has been referring to this virus as the CCP virus because obviously, we're looking at Fauci, we're looking at NIH, we're looking at CDC, we're looking at all these basically bureaucracy set up within the government, and they've all lied, including Birx, the scarf lady, who just has now come out and said, oh, yeah, I made it all up. I mean, you guys at the Epoch Times must have been incensed to hear all this.
Well, more like we kind of expected it. I've been with Epoch Times since 2006, and I've been doing investigative reporting into the Chinese Communist Party since 2008. My investigative career started when I accidentally uncovered a Chinese spy network in the United States, which was the United Front Work Department. And so this has been my wheelhouse. Nothing we're seeing surprises me in the least. And I think if people could understand the extent to which our government employees, our representatives, everybody from the president down to the city council member are targeted by the Chinese Communist Party for espionage, the way that professors, scientists, researchers, the way that journalists, business leaders are targeted, the amount of them that have been compromised, I think it would make people sick to their stomachs. The Chinese Communist Party has three branches focused on this kind of stuff, two branches of the government, one branch of the military total. used on the military side, it used to be the general political department that waged political warfare. Now it's under the Strategic Support Force. On the government side, the part that I was investigating was the United Front Work Department and the Overseas Chinese Affairs Office. They work through organizations that have hundreds of thousands, some of them members in the United States, all of whom they can mobilize for this type of subversion. And so, yeah, the picture is massive. And I think people are starting to see the tip of that iceberg and saying, oh, man, China's here. But I'll tell you, it's a lot worse than what people are saying.
All right. It's a lot worse. Now, the 20 million man army. I mean, the thing is, you can only go so far. Our army here and our military has just about been woke decimated. And the ones they haven't fired because they refused to take the jab, they basically have tried to get in their heads and convince them that we're all nothing but a bunch of domestic terrorists, because we show up at school board meetings and complain about them teaching, and having drag shows in front of our kids. So, in trans closets in school and trying to get our kids to take puberty blockers. I'm just, you know, I mean, we're coming to a point in our history in America that's extremely dark. Do we have to worry about China invading us? I mean, this is something you obviously have entertained, Joshua.
Absolutely, unfortunately. And in fact, I have a big project I'm working on right now that I haven't fully announced yet that's going to be specifically on this. The Chinese Communist Party is basically like a cornered rat right now. They have no way out. They're facing economic collapse. They're facing deep issues with social instability. They're facing the reality that no form of investment, no form of bailout is going to save them. People are having there's runs on the bank. The CCP is trying to solve the runs on the bank by using people's COVID health passes. They activate it. You have to go quarantine for like 2 weeks or something like that. And then if you violate it, they throw you in the gulag, basically. They're activating people's COVID passes, so they have to basically, you know, they're basically imprisoning them in their own homes, using COVID as an excuse. And they're finding that when it comes to the economic collapse, when it comes to internal crisis, infighting within the Communist Party, Xi Jinping's up for re-election soon, things are falling apart. Now, what do you do if you're in a situation like that? Well, for the CCP, the number one priority is survival of the Communist Party. That takes precedent over everything. And the PLA, the People's Liberation Army, is technically the armed wing of the Communist Party. They're not like the American military where, you know, they're sworn to protect the Constitution. The Chinese military, the PLA, is meant to protect the party, not the people of China. They are the armed wing of the party. It's like, imagine if the Democrats or the Republicans had their own personal military. That's what it's equivalent to. They would, if it would save them, if it would relieve some of that pressure, they would very easily consider going to war. And frankly, I think more so than ever, they might actually do it.
So we're looking at Taiwan first, right, to start it.
Which honestly would be devastating for them, which is why I think they probably haven't done it yet. This is where the picture gets a bit dicey. So Taiwan is let's put it this way. If the CCP were to invade Taiwan, Taiwan is like a beachfront bastion. The invasion on Taiwan would be like the invasion of Normandy times 100. They have underground bases, you know, all throughout underground military bases all throughout Taiwan. It's a mountainous area. Raiding the beaches would be decimating for the CCP. Taiwan also has rockets that are over targeted. They could hit the Three Gorges Dam, which if they broke that in China, would cause flooding and destroy all the nuclear facilities and cities downriver, which would cause like multiple Chernobyls across China and then carry the radioactive waste through the waters. A war with Taiwan would be decimating for the CCP, but they don't really have another way out. And then if they were to actually get past the beaches and onto the ground in Taiwan, you're basically looking at Iwo Jima, where, you know, American troops went to Iwo Jima and they found the Japanese had underground bases all throughout and it was decimating for them. Trying to fight Taiwan would be very hard for the CCP. What I imagine they're going to do is this. They're probably going to do like a castle siege type scenario where they can encircle Taiwan with their military, maintain that, starve them, cut off supplies. That would also cut off global supplies of chips, those semiconductors. They do that. They kill the global high-tech industry. The only remaining country that could do it would be some of China's factories, which aren't up to par. And then one of the companies that's in South Korea, which the CCP could also make attempts to deal with as well. If they were to do that, they would have a pretty good trade leverage because of the chips. That being said, though, if the CCP were to launch an attack on the United States, they have a very specific program for that. It's called the Three Warfares Program. The only time the United States has ever lost in a wargaming scenario, according to Michael Pillsbury, who explained this in his book, The 100-Year Marathon, I believe it was when he applied that strategy, the three warfare strategy. And what that would entail would be surprise attacks on U.S. targets. It could include high Earth orbit nuclear detonation, which would basically burn out all of electronics using an EMP blast.
That's what we all suspect.
Yeah.
That they will do EMP because, see, they could come in and take over our entire country if they – launched one EMP 270 miles over Kansas, knocked out all their grids, and watched our country within a year, 9 out of 10 people would not survive this. And so then your 20 million man army can just waltz right in here and take over.
And it would also be like multiple Pearl Harbor type attacks, which is easy in this day and age because you could just bring a shipping container with, you know, explosives on it and just destroy our military bases on the coastlines. It would not be difficult for them to do it.
Of course not.
And specifically, they have a written strategy for all this stuff. Again, it's the Assassin's Maze program.
All right. So what's the other two strategies? You mentioned the one about EMP. And then one about surprise attacks?
Well, it would be multiple fronts. So it would be the three warfares is different. That's, more like a media warfare, psychological warfare program.
They're doing that.
The Assassin's Maze program is specifically on surprise attack. And the idea would be to basically bring the United States to the negotiating table within like 2 weeks. You'd look at, again, multiple Pearl Harbor type attacks on every military base, at least every coastal one. Which would include very likely nuclear weapons on shipping containers, as some what I've been told by some former Chinese spies. It would include high Earth orbit nuclear detonation. It would include different types of energy weapons, anti-satellite weapons, and those types of things. The basic idea is it would target the soft points of America's defenses. You kill America's satellites, what happens, right? We can't use our GPS. That means targeting systems, that means communication systems, that means navigation systems. It means that the real system that enables the power, the air superiority of the U.S. military and the communication system that allow all of our stuff to communicate with it, you know, amongst themselves, but becomes disabled. And not to mention, as you were discussing, the fact that our own government has basically been gutting our own military through the vaccine mandates, through these woke policies. They're having hiring crisis. They can't recruit enough people. Through Biden using our strategic energy reserves and opening those up and sending them off to China, ironically, and other countries. And
let's
also issues.
Joshua, what about the most recent about them giving away all our howitzer ammunition and everything else to Ukraine, along with all of our tax dollars? This is a war that definitely we are not going to win. We're fighting a proxy war there. And now it looks like there is also that possibility because there are military exercises right now. There are aircraft and the 7th Fleet is over there off Taiwan. And it's not so much a tit for tat, let's see who steps over the line kind of thing. It's just there basically as a warning to the CCP, hey, don't try it or we're going to retaliate.
Well, and then even the border crisis and even the drug crisis, you know, the Chinese Communist Chinese Communist Party does the money laundering for the Mexican drug cartels. They supply the precursor chemicals and they supply the synthetic drugs. Fentanyl is a Chinese Communist Party product, and they have a name for this. They call it drug warfare. There's also immigration warfare, opening up the borders, and through the United Nations, of course, they can feed mass immigration in the United States, destabilize the U.S. as they're doing to Europe. At the same time, too, they've stated that they would need in the condition of a war with the United States, they would need to get the United States involved in 5 different wars as well, one of which would need to be a terrorist organization, according to their own writings. And so you could very likely see some of the resurgence of terrorist groups, the U.S. getting pulled into multiple conflicts, the Ukraine conflict actually being the U.S. involved as a proxy, very possibly North Korea, very possibly Iran, and maybe some others as well. So they have clearly written plans for this, and the U.S. is just not really preparing for it, honestly.
Well, and see, it's very difficult in most of our thought processes to wrap our heads around it. A lot of people still have cognitive dissonance about this, and they think that, you know, especially all those woke on the left think that our country is so wonderful and that the Democratic Party is going to be protecting all of us. Problem is when you have a president and his son and half their family that's owned by the Chinese Communist Party and it's been paid off to the extent that they do, and their answer is crack pipes in all the major cities, you know, we're in a real world of hurt here.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is that the Biden administration probably doesn't have the ability to mobilize the American people, I think, to respond to any threat as well, because a lot of Americans feel that the Biden administration is kind of waging a culture war against them right now. A lot of them feel targeted or discriminated against. And a lot of Americans, I think, just would be unwilling to fight. So that's another big factor that's important to consider.
Well, and I just don't think that a lot of the conservative folks that listen to this show, they don't trust the government anymore. You know, now that they've raided Mar-a-Lago, they don't trust them anymore than they did before. I mean, I always ask the question on this show, Joshua, how many Wacos and Ruby Ridges is it going to take before people wake up? And see, this is where, you know, people are not going to trust the United States anymore as far as protecting and the general welfare. They're going to trust their own instincts, and that's why people are arming and stockpiling food.
Well, and even worse than that, one of the factors we're seeing with all this is basically the collapse of the Pax Americana, the collapse of the American idea and what that meant for the world. Because it used to be the case that when the Chinese Communist Party went and persecuted some of its own people, the United States would say, you know, that doesn't stand on the world stage. You can't just arrest political dissidents. You can't just throw people in gulags. You can't just target political enemies. You can't just rig elections. But now that the Biden administration is pulling out all stops with pretty much all of these, whether, you know, including like the January Sixers is still face, you know, still in solitary confinement, some of them after all this time.
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
Yeah, I mean, given all this, it's like we no longer have a base through which we can accuse other countries of violating human rights. And I mean, given what China does is a lot worse than what the U.S. does, you know, the harvesting organs from political dissidents and, you know, having much larger scale. But the ability for the U.S. to argue on that ground is being lost. And that means that this whole American idea and what human rights, you know, human rights protected under, what that meant for the world, that is fading. And that, in my opinion, is a much scarier phenomenon to be watching.
No doubt. 844-769-2944 is our toll-free number to call if you have a question for Joshua Philip. We're getting into some pretty heavy subject matter here because it's something that a lot of people, if you haven't been thinking about it at right now, you have been at some point in time in the past, you might have dismissed it. But, you know, our political landscape in America is being destroyed. This is another reason why Texit is happening, and Texas is talking about there's factions here that want to secede from the United States because we think we can do a better job of taking care of ourselves than they certainly can. We're going to be back to talk about January 6th, Liz Cheney, and what in the hell is going on in this country with Joshua Philip from Epoch Times after this short break. And your phone calls, too. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Herb & Spice. We carry the Resvital Caps, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Pure Lisi, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Oregares, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Two minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. We're talking to Joshua Phillip from the Epic Times. If you don't subscribe, you should. EpicTimes.com. We get a lot of our news information from there. I don't mind shameless plugs and talking about the fact that, yes, anybody that goes in there helps pay this guy's salary. But the thing is, we've been having some hard and heavy conversations about what the intent is. Because Joshua's been heavily researching the CCP. Obviously, he knows all about Wuhan. Obviously, he knows about DASAC and the Echo Health Alliance supplying money, taxpayer dollars from the United States through Ralph Barrick and University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. All of our listeners here, Joshua, know the back channel story on this stuff. And then you got January 6th. This is nutty. I want to get to Keith's question here. Keith from Oklahoma, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Josh, I really like the information you're bringing us today. The question I had was, is that it seems, from my perspective, and which I think is true, that World Economic Forum over the past 2 years is has a lot of power in shaping the narrative and what's going on in the world today. And exactly, or you know how that they actually fit into place with what the information you're bringing us? Are they interconnected, or do you have any information regarding that?
Absolutely. A lot of this, the important part with the World Economic Forum is this. They are partners with the United Nations on Agenda 2030. And this is not conspiracy. They are public partners on that program. Agenda 2030 is the kind of broader goals in place. They have their social development goals, which they have 17 goals that include pretty much everything you see rolling out globally right now. The Great Reset and so on is just tied in with the 17 goals of the Agenda 2030 of the United Nations. The Chinese Communist Party has pretty deep control over the United Nations to the extent that they actually control several branches of it. And, you know, it's just basically the role that the World Economic Forum plays in that is they handle the business community. And the scary thing in the United States is the left has found a loophole within our legal system in terms of constitutional protections and limits on the government, which is they can control the corporations that have monopolies over, let's say, the public squares, like your ability to communicate, over the banks and your ability to even make purchases and so on. That through this monopoly, if they can control that monopoly, they can essentially institute a socialist government without having to go through the federal government. And the way that BlackRock and other companies are doing that is they're creating, kind of rules that everybody has to play by, or they pull out their investments. And if you're a corporation and you're publicly listed, you have to listen to your shareholders. You can't do things that harm shareholder interests, or you can be sued. And so they found a way to control businesses and use those businesses as vehicles to basically institute these socialist policies.
Yes, I've noticed that, especially over this past 2 years, how business or corporations, I should say, I'm trying to search for the right words here, willing to obey, corporations as if, they're dictating the narrative of how we should live our lives. But anyway, thank you for that. Like I say, that's been on my mind. I see it quite frequently here with the World Economic Forum setting out these agendas and how all that played in. But I appreciate that. Thank you, Josh.
No problem. Yeah, those are called the Sustainable Development Goals. If you read the Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations, and that's the game they're playing right now.
You really think that's going to work, Joshua? You really think they're going to succeed with this before people stand up and say no?
Well, personally, I think they're finding already that the people are not going with it. And this is, I think, kind of the bigger picture of what's taking place in the world, and something that gives me hope, and I think should give everybody hope, which is the people are waking up. When you talk about the way government works and from where government gathers its power, right? You talk about the social contract, this agreement that people are willing to sacrifice a bit of their rights and a bit of their own sovereignty for the sake of creating a government that can protect their life and their property and so on, right? There's a certain contract, an unspoken one, between people and the people that represent them, the government. And when government stops playing the role that the people believe it should play, the contract begins to be broken. I would say the social contract is broken, and people know it's broken. People are waking up to it. It's because of this they have to censor. It's because of this they have to try to silence people. It's because of this social media is trying to push down stories, and the mainstream media, controlled by a lot of these same entities, like the parent corporations, are just trying to basically do whatever they want to make sure that people don't know the truth. I think that what's encouraging is that there is kind of a global awakening taking place, and not to sound cheesy with that, but I don't know how else to put it, where people are seeing through it. And just about every country of the world, you have very large numbers of people waking up. It's not everybody, but very large numbers of people waking up. And as they're waking up, you can see the powers that be really struggling to keep them kind of dumb and quiet, and it's not working anymore. What we're having now in the United States, where you have kind of a supermajority of pretty much these far left powers, is what I've been calling lame duck dictators. Because even though they control everything, they found you don't control anything if people don't listen to you. Because that comes down to the social contract. When the social contract is broken, you become a lame duck. And no matter how much you control of a country, you can do nothing if you don't have the will of the people behind you.
Well, that's one positive note. The other positive note is Liz Cheney got the boot, got her ass handed to her in the primaries on August 16th. And so I want to touch base on her in this January 6th shift show that's going on right now, because that, in my book, is what it is. I take that word shift show from Hannity because I kind of like the term. But the fact is it's not even a legitimate committee. Made up of the 13 that they originally said were going to be on the committee, there's 9, and only 2 Republicans, Liz Cheney being one of the turncoats, Kinzinger, who's not running again. I guess it's because he knows better and doesn't want to throw his money away, what's left of it, because of the fact nobody trusts that guy and likes him anymore because of what he did with Trump and Mar-a-Lago. I mean, that whole thing and what's happening with it right now just compounded Liz Cheney's problems with January 6th, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the January 6th was just, as far as I'm concerned, was a crime, but not a crime on behalf of the people who are currently facing charges. I just did a documentary, actually, called The Real Story of January 6th, about this. What we found, looking into it, getting a lot of videos I think nobody's probably seen before, is that actually the police were violating laws left and right. And I'm someone who generally supports police, but I do think that doesn't give them just kind of free rein to, violate laws. They were violating use of force laws left and right. Of course, they killed Ashley Babbitt, Officer Byrd. But there's even evidence that even the 3 other individuals who died that day, that police use of force violations, and it may have been at least contributing causes, including both people who had heart attacks who were struck very close by explosive munitions that police were just lobbing randomly into the crowd, including Roseanne Boylan, who died in one of the tunnels and was trampled and people were begging the police to save her life. They watched her lose consciousness, and you know, they beat, instead of saving her, there was video of one of the officers beating her unconscious body.
Yep. Lila Morris.
Yeah, and so this story on January 6th is not the story you've been told, but this is the big thing. This is the big thing now. I've been saying, look, Mar-a-Lago, very quick, is turning into the new Watergate. This is turning into a scandal on behalf of Biden. I'm going to say right now that January 6th is very quickly becoming the new Benghazi, because the story is going to be shifting not to, you know, these people protesting and so on, especially as new evidence and videos come out. It's going to be shifting to who was responsible. And the narrative that Trump was responsible doesn't work, because Trump authorized the deployment of the National Guard. Who declined that? That was Nancy Pelosi, who didn't accept it, at least. Nancy Pelosi, Muriel Bowser, mayor of Washington, D.C., and Mitch McConnell. And the three of them are going to be the new Hillary Clintons, trying to defend why they did not provide additional security when they knew there was going to be large-scale issues, why they did not answer the calls when they saw there were issues taking place, why they did not do proper protocols on security, and why Americans died under their watch. This is the new Benghazi, and it's already coming out that Nancy Pelosi's office is stonewalling investigations into her role.
Of course they are. But the thing is that, like you said, Pelosi, Bowser, they all were told that, you know, there are going to be hordes of people here and you need to defend the Capitol. They are going to come and they're going to protest. And it wasn't so much Trump's speeches that incited it. People had already been planning on going there. And so, you know, for them to try to hang this thing around his neck is, you know, purely political. But this January 6th committee, that to me is not even a legitimate committee, that's a real issue here in my book, because that is further driving the people away from government. Patrice in Ohio, you're on the phone with Joshua Phillip. Go ahead.
Well, along the lines with breaking the social contract is, we no longer acknowledge your false authority. They don't have real authority. They're doing this. They don't have authority to do anything that they're doing.
Yeah, well, I'd agree with that. And I think that's another part of it, too, is people, Americans, I think everybody is finally pulling out that pocket constitution they've had, you know, sitting around for all these years. And they're finally being like looking at it, being like, you know, can they do that? You know, can they really force us to get a vaccine? Can they really do this or that? Yeah.
Who is it that we're questioning to say, is that OK? We're saying that's not OK.
Exactly.
We're the boss.
Well, we said it on January 6th, Patrice, when we showed up there, and then they call it an insurrection. We called it a protest. It turned into a riot.
Well, that was a setup. That was,
sure,
that was
it
a setup.
And, we
and,
know it.
And people knew, some people knew it was a setup and tried to warn other people that, hey, this kind of stinks. I don't know that I'd be going there. And, Dave, we've had this discussion before. The police in D.C. has carte blanche authority all over all police in the United States of America as we stand today.
Okay, Joshua, let's talk
because
about
the
setup.
Corporation.
Yeah,
because
I get it. Let's talk
about.
Yeah, but I want to talk about the setup, because you mentioned, Patrice, something, you know, that we've all been hanging our hat on, and starting with Ray Epps and everybody else that's been involved in this thing. Joshua, what's your take on the fact that this whole thing was just nothing but a setup here to target Trump?
I'd say three sides to it. One is, of course, the allowing of security holes to be there, which Pelosi and Muriel Bowser and Mitch McConnell are going to need to answer for very seriously. And there needs to be real investigations into that, because, frankly, I think people need answers on it. But even aside from that, legally, there's a real case to suggest the entire thing was entrapment. And 2 points with that. One, you mentioned, of course, you know, Ray Epps, he was with some of these individuals and saying, you know, we need to go into the Capitol, right? There were close to 100 suspicious actors and what we're calling material witnesses who, while Trump was still speaking at the Ellipse, breached the Capitol building. For some reason, those people are not being charged by the FBI. Why are the ones who did exactly what the left is accusing everybody of doing, Why are the ones who actually did it not being charged? We call them suspicious actors and material witnesses. We don't even know who they are because the government has no interest in the main instigators. Those were individuals, and what do? They tore down all the barricades. They removed all the no trespassing signs. A separate team went inside the building and opened those doors so people, when they came from the Ellipse, going to go watch the speeches at the Capitol building, and there was a platform there, and they had already gotten the permit to have speeches there. When they arrived, they had no idea that they'd be violating the law. They had no idea they were trespassing, and police waved them into the building in some areas. And the other side of it was this. In the areas where he did have conflicts with the police, where police and protesters were fighting, and yes, there was some violence on both sides with that, the way that police were using force, one, violating laws many times in the way they were doing it, such as pushing people off 20-foot walls, such as deploying gas in tunnels that sucked the oxygen out of the room where Roseanne Boylan died, such as beating a woman on the head 20 times when she couldn't escape, which was Victoria White. I could go on and on like this. You had officers haphazardly throwing munitions into the crowd, explosive munitions, haphazardly tasing people, not arresting them, not checking on them. You had them not following protocol. Even Officer Byrd, when he shot Roseanne Boylan, did not even try to provide first aid. He just left the scene.
Oh, Ashley Babbitt.
All of these.
Yeah.
Ashley Babbitt, I'm sorry. All these are violations. And what they were doing was this. This is the important part. Aside from them waving people in the building and all that, which could be entrapment alone, the act of inciting the crowd, incitement, rather than arresting or dispersing the crowd, which is the normal practice if you're using these types of munitions. They weren't arresting. They weren't dispersing for the most part. They were inciting. And if you are inciting people to commit crimes, that is entrapment. Absolutely.
So now we know. I mean, this is something that we've all been positing. You know, see, the more that we dig into this stuff, Joshua, which we know you have, you know, many of us just sit behind the microphone. You actually have put this into a video. And, you know, we have a link on the Vimeo taking a closer look at the events that took place that day from a different perspective. The Cheney situation with her acting now as a turncoat and losing the election in Wyoming, she is going to be staying there until she leaves office in January. And I don't see this committee doing anything but trying to continue to divide this country with these false narratives. What say you?
Well, yeah, the Democrat Disinformation Committee, a.k.a. the Jan 6 Committee, they've been altering evidence. They've been doctoring videos. They've been showing clips where key parts are removed. They're not talking about the deaths of the individuals, Ashley Babbitt, Roseanne Boylan, the two individuals who had heart attacks. They're not showing any of that. They're omitting information. They're telling people when they go to testify not to talk about certain things because they don't want certain evidence entered into evidence. They don't want that. All they're doing is putting on a big political show, actually misleading people, actually misrepresenting information, actually falsifying data as they're releasing it by, again, taking things out of context or editing clips in ways that are misleading and removing key parts. All they're doing is spreading disinformation. And all they're doing is trying to use this, it seems, to try to win the 2022 midterms. This whole thing is just a big election scandal, and they're using it for that reason. And even New York Times is admitting they're using it for that reason.
Well, so now in order to set this whole thing into motion, something had to happen in November 2020 to cause people to feel disenfranchised so that would make them go to D.C. to protest what was happening on January 6th with the Electoral College, knowing that Pence had the potential authority to start disqualifying electors and saying, hey, wait a minute, but he didn't do it. And now he wants to throw his hat in the ring for president? That guy, I don't trust. Tom in Michigan, you're on the phone with Joshua Phillip. Go for it.
Just real quick, whatever happened to quick and speedy trial? Whatever happened to Eighth Amendment, no excessive bails or fines, and cruel and unusual punishment? Whatever happened to habeas corpus? How can, you know, How can there be war powers if no war has been declared in the first place?
Well, you know, Tom, you're talking about the D.C. gulag. I get that. And this is all, Joshua, I would say that this is all political. Wouldn't you say the same thing?
I definitely say that. And I think even in addition to that, too, you know, the ACLU declared that when you put people on, you know, solitary confinement, that it's a human rights abuse. The ACLU said that. So where's the ACLU? Where's California, which banned that practice? Where's New York that's been trying to ban that practice? Where are these officials who, during the pandemic, emptied out the prisons in New York and California and other places? The officials who emptied out the prisons saying that it was a threat for COVID, and they have no problem people sitting in prison for over a year for this. You know, the narratives don't work. The narratives are contradicting themselves at this point, and I think their true colors are shown with it all.
No doubt. Eddie in Missouri, you're on the phone with Joshua Phillip. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. My question is, what these doors, how thick are they? What do they weigh? Are they made out of cardboard? Or what's the deal?
You would need a howitzer. You would need a howitzer to break those doors.
Really?
Yeah, they're thick magnetic doors. They have to be opened inside. From evidence I'm aware of, I've seen video. There's actually surveillance footage. During when these individuals were breaching the Capitol while Trump was still speaking at the Ellipse, you had a small group of individuals. I want to say it was three individuals. I'm pretty sure it was three or close to that. They went inside the building, did a beeline right for those doors. It's very strange because the individual looks at the security camera, makes a signal, and then pushes the door open with his hand. And you can't just push that door open with your hand unless someone unlocks it.
Amazing how that works. All right. Thank you, Eddie. Appreciate that. Richard in Washington, you're on the phone with Joshua Phillip. Go ahead.
Hey, Joshua. Basically, this whole thing, as I pointed out before, has been theater since 1933. We went bankrupt. We're into receivership. Basically, they're just playing games with us. And as the lady before us indicated, they're all corporations now, even the governments. So what you need to recognize is the boards of directors of all these corporations, who are basically the same people, are controlling everything, and they're just keeping us entertained. I mean, the Roman thing was bread and circuses. We now have essentially distractions, sports and theater and soap opera and whatever. None of this is really real. Come on, everything that's presented to us is just a show, just to keep us amused.
What do you think? Joshua, would you agree with that?
Well, I'm aware, you know, in the 1930s around then, you had the technocracy movement, which was the idea that you could basically institute socialism through corporate control and through, you know, the advancements in technology. And yeah, absolutely. A lot of the corporate reforms cleared way for that. The creation of the Federal Reserve cleared way for that. And a lot of the ways that the government has then partnered with corporations, which really is, you know, employing a lot of the fascist model, you know, Mussolini's fascist model. Has really done that. So I think definitely to a pretty good extent. I don't think that's the only. I think we have multiple forms of socialism all kind of maturing at the same time, and so that's one big part of it. I don't think it's all of it, but yeah, that's definitely one big part of it.
Yeah, that's all by design. Richard, thanks for your call. Kevin in Ohio, you're on the phone with Joshua Phillip. Go ahead.
We're having him on today. I'm a subscriber to the newspaper. And I would have never heard of it as early as I did because they were doing advertising on YouTube. And YouTube took them off the air. So, but I got to where I got a subscription. I gave my neighbor the newspapers. She was mulching with them in the garden, and she just fell in love with the cultural sections. And so I got her a subscription. And I have a wayward son, a couple of them that are Democrats, and so I send them subscriptions just to attack them at home. And I love the paper. And whatever you're saying about us being running out of ammunition and weapons, them giving it to Ukraine is a travesty.
It is.
Yeah, I'd like to hear from that gentleman.
Go ahead, Joshua.
Yeah, well, thank you for your support. I appreciate it. Yeah, so I'm aware too. So. I met a woman whose husband worked at one of the ammunition manufacturers. This was actually, I think, before the Ukraine conflict started. And she told me something pretty concerning, because you remember a lot of Americans were trying to buy ammunition, and they were finding that a lot of ammunition was kind of sold out. If you, even some places selling it, we had long lines. It was very hard to get ammunition. There was talk of an ammunition shortage. What she told me, this woman whose husband worked at one of these factories, who was one of the VPs at one of these factories, she said there was no ammunition shortage. She said, in fact, the company her husband worked for had to build a second factory to manufacture more ammunition because, guess what? The government was buying it. And the government was buying so much of it that they had to double their capacity for production. And that's why there was that quote-unquote ammunition shortage. It's interesting now that they're sending it to Ukraine. I don't know if that's the same purchasing they're doing for that, but it is concerning.
Well, it's also concerning, too, Joshua, that they might be using this against we the people at some point down the road. And that's why I think that when Patrice and everybody else is talking about the social contract being violated, it's headed in this direction. And they are really trying to instigate a civil war with the right. And I don't see it happening because we're a little smarter than they give us credit for. We have about a minute left in the show here. And I was just curious, what do you think? Cheney's not going to try to run for president, is she?
She's going to try.
God, I don't see that woman getting anywhere even past
Maybe she'll run with Pence. Maybe she'll be Pence's VP or something. We'll
see. Dear God. Yeah, but Pence I don't give any hope for either. Anyway, so this is the thing. Folks, we appreciate your input and your questions today. There's some real serious stuff. Joshua, we're going to have you back on the show again because, I mean, this whole thing, us on the world stage and where we are right now, people have to have hope, and we appreciate your providing some of that out there. We are at the end of...
Pleasure.
Thank you. And to epictimes.com, folks, go subscribe. In the meantime, we'll be back tomorrow. No more news information in your phone calls. In the meantime, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
All heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.